Since 1965, virtually anybody coming here from Cuba has been admitted as a refugee. Since 1994, though, only those who actually set foot on dry American soil get to stay. Anybody caught at sea is sent home. So many Cuban migrants no longer take a boat to Florida. Legia Navarro explains what they're doing now.
You're in Cuba without a visa to the U.S. and you want out. What do you do? With all the stories of capsized boats, hopping a raft isn't too appealing. There is one much easier way, if you have family abroad, that is. Just have your relatives pay 11 grand and a smuggler will come get you. This man we'll call Manuel did just that.
Empezamos a caminar entre la maleza, bueno mojado, húmedo.
We walked through the jungle, wet and tired, until we got to the place near the coast where we waited for the smugglers to come pick us up.
The smuggler's boat didn't point north to Miami, but due west to Mexico. That's the latest change in tactic for Cuban-American people smugglers, says Miami Customs and Border Protection spokesman Zach Mann.
But what we're seeing now is Cubans making their way to Mexico and then making their way across the southwest border into the United States.
Since 2005, there's been a major U.S. crackdown on smuggling through Florida, after smuggling numbers increased and several migrants died in chases with the Coast Guard. Now Mexico is the most popular route for Cubans entering the United States illegally. Last year, nearly 9,000 Cubans showed up at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's about triple the number that landed on Florida beaches. Again, Zach Mann.
And now it's become an organized business, and they're really the only goal really is to make a profit.
The smugglers who picked Manuel up loaded 34 Cubans onto a luxury speedboat, netting about $375,000. The cost of a smuggling trip includes transportation right to the U.S.-Mexico border. Once Cubans get to the border, almost all are let across, even if they're economic migrants. That's drastically different from U.S. policy towards other illegal immigrants, says sociologist Lisandro Perez.
It's a sort of a contradiction. It says, as long as you can escape, we'll welcome you. And essentially, if you do something sometimes risky that will bring you here, we will admit you.
Many Cubans are smuggled through the Mexican resort city of Cancun, where they're kept in safe houses and then shuttled north. Manuel was flown from Cancun to the northern Mexican city of Monterrey, an hour from Texas.
When we got to the airport, they gave us the tickets, but the names on them weren't our names. They were fake.
But it didn't matter, because no one asked Manuel to show ID before he boarded the plane. That's because smugglers pay off officials in Mexico's immigration agency. The National Migration Institute says Cancun's top federal prosecutor, Pedro Ramirez Violante.
What is most alarming is that some of the cases that have arisen have come about with the aid of the National Immigration Institute's personnel. In this case, clearly people who are charged with guarding that these types of things don't happen.
Ramirez Violante says that without law enforcement information from the immigration agency, his office hasn't been able to prosecute a single smuggler of Cubans. In Miami's Little Havana, where exile groups lobby fiercely to influence U.S. policy towards Cuba, few will say the smuggling's all bad. Camila Ruiz is the spokesperson for the Cuban American National Foundation.
Though we understand it's illegal and we don't agree with that, we do understand the desperation that drives Cubans to try to find any kind of vehicle to get out of Cuba.
But once Cubans do get out, they're barred from going back. Manuel hopes that someday his parents will get visas to come see him. For now, he works plenty of overtime to send money to them and repay the debt he and his relatives racked up paying to get him to the U.S. In Miami, I'm Legia Navarro for Marketplace.